We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, then you know Rocket can. It's a great start to the Wednesday edition. That first hour, all about Smackoff 27, and that clock is spinning so fast. Here's some reaction to the storylines that I just hit. Quick reminder, the hour sets up like this. What's Your Beef is coming up in 20 minutes. Jake Olson, former USC football player, at 10:40. This segment's open, if you're good enough. Some of the reaction would include, Rome, are we really going to forget Mike in Indy, Mr. Rome? 11 top fives, 6 runners up, while being robbed from the strap in broad daylight about 9 times. Psst, please.
Psst. Please.
Hey, Damasio in Albuquerque, I've got something to say to you. Psst, please.
Psst. Please.
Hey, Damasio, why don't you wait for me to finish the segment before you send in your take? I hit Mike in Indy at the end. And because I hit him at the end, it means he's one of the most important. What are you talking about, man? Wait until I'm finished before you send me your beef. Rome, I can guarantee Matt in L.A. will not break the top 10. JP in Riverside. Yo, JP, way to put yourself out there, dog. Wow. Wow, tough guy. Matt won't break the top 10. Hey, JP, Matt won't win. Didn't want any of that. Come on, man. This guy writes, holy bleep, Rome. Listen to how young you sounded back then. Looking forward to Friday's Smack-Off, Steve in Everett. Steve, it was 27 years ago. Do you know why I sounded that young back then? Because I was that young back then.
Our first annual Great American Smack-Off.
It's like the gonad just dropped or something. That is funny. Paul Stewart tweets, this Paul's dog thing? Please stop. I choked on my Copenhagen. I'm telling you, this Paul's dog thing is a real thing. He could win. Hey, Rome. CJ in the Bay was Paul George at the foul line, while Jeremy in Green Bay and Fake Silk were Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton, signed Jeremiah in Greenville. Pretty close. Pretty close. Little production value got him in. And there's something about that Fake Silk, right? Fake Silk as a gimmick generally works.
Come
until
on.
It doesn't. Come on.
Come on.
Can you believe they're still talking about Jay Stew and 10 dudes in an apartment watching porno? Come on.
Come on.
Jimmy, I think Jeremy has a real chance to win it all. Signed, guys sending DMs to Instagram models. Chris in Milwaukee. Hey, Vance Mack. Not that I need to speak for the legends, but they don't acknowledge you, CJ, because thoroughbreds don't race jackass donkeys. Thanks. Mark in Parts Unknown. Brian in San Pedro. Quote, Clippers win. And not so fast. Signed, the reverse LT buzzer. That made its debut yesterday. That was a result of Alvin running somebody. And I said, no. I wanted that call to be racked, not run. It was the fake dog, in fact. So Alvin, in response, when I said, you got to fix that. He took the LT manual buzzer, Alvy, and he spun it backwards. It's like taking Let It Be and playing it backwards, or Stairway to Heaven and playing it backwards. And what kind of satanic message is there? No satanic message, just Jim and Fall River's barn animal. All right, let's go to the phones. I keep saying it, but it's true. You are running out of time. Now, this guy's already in the field. Not with a golden ticket, but already physically in the field. Let's go to Dan in Denver. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Jeremy, more of fake silk and less of you. That's what's good for the show. And, Rum, did you see ESPN's going to start broadcasting cornhole? Yeah, I don't really see how this is a sport, considering it's a bunch of overweight guys eating, drinking, and dipping while playing it. Although now that I think about it, they've been broadcasting baseball players doing that for years. Jimmy, I'm all for a little fun in my sports, but when instead of a coin toss, you're playing spin the beer bottle and your national anthem is just a bunch of frat bros yelling chug, 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 I just can't get with it. Rum, I love that this league is called the American Cornhole League, a.k.a. the ACL, a.k.a. what these booze hounds tear when they bend over trying to pick up a beanbag. Let's see, they've got cornhole on during the day, baseball in the evening, and poker at night. Jimmy, the only poker I want to see at night is the one where Caleb rearranges the bunny ears on his TV to try to pick up the Playboy channel. I mean, who's broadcasting this garbage? Chael Sonnen? Rummy, I saw that he just signed an extension with ESPN, and I know sure as hell it isn't going to be broadcast in fighting. Hey, Chael, how do you go from calling yourself the bad guy to threatening litigation because you can't participate in an insult competition? Two thoughts on Chael's tweet, Jim. Either one, this is a ruse and he's going to appear in someone else's call, which he's done twice before, or two, he's a dumbass, which he's been his whole life. Chael, you aren't banned, bro. You just aren't good at this anymore. It'd be like you saying you're banned from winning MMA fights. Jimmy, I thought it was embarrassing when Chael got choked out by Tito Ortiz, but I'm pretty sure he'd get choked out by Silk Bra, because both of you bitches have the same body, and both of you lost to Tito Ortiz. Finally, Jim, I appreciate the invite again for the smack-off. Jimmy, I might not be the best, but in 2019, on the biggest stage, on the most important show of the year, I delivered my best call and hit the board. And that's more than Jeff in Southfield, Tyler in Edmonton, Matt in Van, or Cal in Vegas can say. So, Jimmy, I'm going to see you on Friday, and none of these bitches are safe.
My man, Dan in Denver, you know what you got to do now, Alvin. Rack him. He's good.
Rack him!
Dan's good. Dan's got firepower. Dan's got an arsenal. Dan can do some damage. Is his best good enough to win? I don't know, but I know he can do some damage come Friday. You got it, Dan. Nice job. That's how you solidify your spot. He's already in the field and with good reason. 1-800-636-8686. Do you remember this somewhat creepy call that was made by Will in Milton before I went on vacation?
Would you like to go to Colorado? Drive around the mountains in the springtime. We can listen to guest hosts. I will drive. You can read your Twitter post. Romy, Romy, tell me, Jim Romy, would you like to go to Colorado?
No. No, Will. Not at all. Wow. I mean, I'll never forget that call, because how could I ever forget that call? But I don't remember that call quite like that. He's back. He's back for more, apparently. And it's always right before I go on vacation, too. Have you noticed? Will in Milton knows that I'm going to bust out this weekend. So let's go there right now. You've already heard the setup. You know what he did last time. Will in Milton. What's going on, Will?
Not a whole lot, Jim. I appreciate you taking my call. And I do understand your apprehension at taking my previous invitation. I thought I'd propose something that you might feel just a little bit more comfortable with. Would you invite me to Eagle River? We'll walk to Dairy Queen and get a blizzard. I could meet your neighbors too. You'll drink Bombay liquor, I'll drink Mountain Dew. Romy, Romy, tell me, Jim Romy, will you invite me to Eagle River?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Creepy much? No, dude. I'm not going to invite you to Eagle River where I can drink Bombay and you can drink Mountain Dew. Or go to Dairy Queen and get blizzards. No, dude. Will and Milton. Wait, you can see where I had apprehension about taking that telephone call. The more things change, they stay exactly the same, and that was creepy as hell. 1-800-636-8686. Old dudes singing songs to me, man, like serenading me in bleep. Let's go to Tucson. It's smack off week. It's midweek. James in Tucson. James, what's going on with you?
Romy, what's up, brother?
What's up, dude?
I am freaking pumped, man. I'm actually here. I appreciate the real estate. I got a little shout out. We're getting some clones together here in Tucson at a place called Tap and Bottle on Oracle Road, 7254 North Oracle Road. They're going to open up a little bit early. They're going to have some local burritos and brew for the smack off. The local establishment, and they've been doing it for a few years now, so it's going to be awesome to have everybody out there. All you Tucson clones, if you guys want to pop on by, have a couple pops with me and a few of the other guys there, so it'd be good to see everybody. Ward Jeremiah down in the Long Beach docks. Ward, Matt, and Van, and Tyler, and Edmondson. I'm out.
My man, James, thank you very much for saying so. All right, so he just said there's going to be a watch party. Tap and Bottle in Tucson. Tap and Bottle in Tucson. In fact, let me get you a little information on that. The actual address is, if you're in Tucson or you're near and you want to get by, it is 7254 North Oracle Road in Tucson. 7254 North Oracle Road in Tucson. That is the second year Tap and Bottle is in a watch party. Appreciate y'all. Thanks so much. If y'all want to come together and watch and listen to the Smack Off, and again, because of our simulcast on CBS Sports Network, you can actually watch the Smack Off. That was a really big thing when we started to actually put the show on TV for the first time. We never had the Smack Off. Never mind the show, but of course the Smack Off on TV. So there are watch parties, not just listen parties, but watch parties. Tap and Bottle has one again, 7254 North Oracle Road in Tucson. There's also one at the Lorelei Inn in Green Bay. Got to have one in Wisconsin. I'm going to be in Wisconsin hours after the Smack Off. You have to have one in Wisconsin. So another watch party at the Lorelei Inn in Green Bay. If maybe you own a bar or you're responsible for an establishment and you want to throw something together, let us know. I'm here to help. I'm here to promote. I'm up for anything that brings people together for the event itself. My man. All right, so Will and Milton is trying to serenade me and sing. The guy who started this way back when, and he wasn't looking to serenade me, but he was looking to sing. And when he did it well, nobody did it better. John in Little Rock wants to weigh in. He is an OG. John, what's going on, brother?
What's up, brother? This is to that guy who just tried to serenade you. That song that he sang, it sucks so good. No one will bump that in the hood. Why would you call? You're not Gorilla Balls. Now you must fall in front of us all. That song that he sang, it sucks so good. No one will crank that in the hood. Why would you call? You're not Gorilla Balls. Now you must fall in front of us all.
My man has not brought that kind of fire in a long time. Nice job, John. That's the kind of thing that when Alvin goes to work on it, it sounds brilliant. He hasn't brought that kind of heat in a long time. You can tell that dude was offended. He was more offended by that than even I was. John in Little Rock, the Smack Off is bringing everybody out. Adam, when are you going to school them up on the use of social for the Smack Off? We'll make that a tomorrow thing. Social media, very important the day of the Smack Off. John in Little Rock, man, kind of pumped me up a little bit. Like I said, I've not seen that kind of heat from him in a long time. Let's go to Jerome in Houston. It's a big week. You know, this guy's got to weigh in. What's going on, Jerome?
How you doing, Mr. Rome? Good to be in. Good to be in the jungle. I just have a little something for little Mr. Crisco in southeast Wisco. eating his curds and lard. Well, he got so darn heavy, he barely fit in his Chevy and blew all four tires out. Ba 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 boom!
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
The Kooks are out today. And it's only 10:15. But where Jerome is, it's definitely not 10:15. But the Kooks are out. Tell you what, Kooks, the rest of you Kooks are more than welcome to participate in What's Your Beef. In fact, I'll go heavy on the phones. 1-800-636-8686. I always know exactly what I'm going to get on social for What's Your Beef. It always works. I never know what I'm going to get with the phone calls for What's Your Beef. But the way things are playing out today, I need to find out. Hit me up. In fact, I might turn this thing on its head. I could literally go phone calls before social. I might. 1-800-636-8686. What's Your Beef is coming up next. Have you ever seen a car at a stoplight or in a parking lot? You know, maybe it stands out. And maybe the reason it stands out is because it's got this deep mirror-like paint. You're probably thinking you do not have the money or the time to spend to get your car to look like that. Think again, you do. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is a revolutionary new product that provides the same level of protection and shine that you get from a professional detail. But you can do it yourself, and you can do it in your very own garage. Simply spray it on, let it haze, buff off. You'll have up to 1 year of paint protection. Also, you'll get that jaw-dropping depth and gloss that will have others admiring your rig on its next drive. In addition to that, it does help to repel dust, it reduces water spotting, it keeps it looking cleaner between washes. You can use it on your car's glass, wheels, and trim too. It's now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by going to 303radio.com, 303radio.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's time. Let me rip my billboard from underneath my giant tower of plastic beef.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
It is now. All beef jerky is not one and the same. By now you know this message. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4 ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Let's see here. Let's go to the emails and the tweets. This is a long form beef. Normally we don't do that. Rome, my beef is with how easy these soft kids have it these days. Back when I was growing up, if I wanted to smoke something, I'd have to steal filterless Marb Red Cowboy Killers from my mom's pack. And if I wanted to drink something, I'd have to lift a Schlitz from my old man's garage fridge. Both tasted like hell, but damn it, that's part of earning it. Smoking cigarettes and drinking beer is an all-American privilege. It's a rite of passage. You smoke a real cig, you cough, and you puke until you like it. Then you pound a real brew, you gag and revolt until it tastes good. Nowadays, these little twerps are smoking candy-flavored vape pens. They're drinking mixed berry White Claws. It's deplorable, Rome. These are the kids we're raising today. Getting buzzed is not supposed to taste like a trip to the Skittles factory. Taste the tobacco, not the rainbow. You teenagers, today, you disgust me. Here's my message to today's 13, 14, and 15-year-olds. Grow the hell up and smoke cigarettes and drink beer. Freaking earn it, you sorry excuse for a generation. Take that rechargeable robot candy out of your mouth and put down that feminine slim can of sugar. Grab a Camel and a Bud Heavy and have a childhood worth telling your future kids about. Amos and Branson. Hell yes, Amos. Memo to you kids. If you're going to smoke, smoke Marb Reds. What, non-filter camels didn't want any of that. Menthol greens didn't want any of that. Listen to that old man just bringing the heat. And even worse, I tend to agree with some of it. Atta boy, Amos. Jim, my beef is with the men's room. Why are there several urinals for big and tall men and only one in the far corner for us regular size men? Signed, Cowan Vegas. War Caleb ripping the title this year. Garrett in Utah no longer participating on Twitter. Jacob in NorCal is in. My beef is with these fools complaining about the reviews and length of the last few minutes of the Suns-Clippers game. The longer the game, the more beer to drink. I don't know, man. Can't you drink beer without the game? Ryan, in Sacktown. Jimmy, my beef is with every clone who emails, shut it down!
Shut it down!
After the first call of the smack off. Rare is the person who can go wire to wire. I don't foresee that happening. So nobody should be shutting anything down after the first call. All right, let's go to the phones. Like I said, social was short. Let's go to Stillwater. Bergie. Good to have you, Bergie. What's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with fake silk. I mean, I'm wandering around the house now, the supermarket work. I'm wandering around all day long just saying, come out. And I want to war Kathleen getting a golden ticket. Thanks, Rome. I'm out.
All right.
Come on.
So he wants to watch your beef, the fake silk, because now he's wandering around all day, everywhere he goes, saying, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go to San Francisco. Phil in San Francisco. Yo, Phil, come on. What's up, Phil?
Come on.
Yo, Rome, my beef is the neighbor. You know that dude you talked about, the guy see you washing your car and says, you gonna do mine next? That dude, I got COVID edition for you. So what's COVID? I'm working from home, homeschooling, no bars, no restaurants, no hanging out with buddies. So yeah, happy hour starts early every day. So when the recycling truck comes to pick up my bin, sounds like 7.0 earthquake hit BevMo. I get it. But this bag, now the neighbor, whenever he hears it, he always has to drop a, sounds like somebody had a party last night. How come I wasn't invited? It's like, dude, I want to punch you in the dentals right now. Stop talking, man.
The neighbor. All right, Paul, I got you. Or Phil, my bad. That's part of being the neighbor. He will always have something to say. That's why he's the neighbor. And by the way, that guy is always the bag who leaves his cans out on the street, man. Bring him in. 1-800-636-8686. It is a beef segment. It's a call-heavy beef segment. Let's go to Humboldt. Anthony, what's your beef?
What's up, Robbie Rome? Hey, shout out to my boys up here at Schmidt Bauer Building Supply in Humboldt. Right quick. And my beef, Rummy Rome, my beef is with Paul George. He's like that public toilet that you go to the county park or the bathroom down there. I'm from Ventura County, so down there in LA or Ventura County, it's got no rim. It's just a stainless steel toilet. You got to play the cards you're dealt. You suck with what you're dealt. He rims out all day, every day. Oh, my goodness gracious. Paul George, help me, please. Lord, help me, please. Love you, Rome. I'm flaming. I'm out.
Anthony, talking about that steel toilet, but you've got to play the cards you're dealt. I get it. Let's keep moving. This time we go to Johnny Scabs in Detroit. I know Scabs has beef. He's got Scabs and he's got beef. Johnny, what's up?
Hey, Jimmy, my beef is with having to miss the SoCal after party on Friday. I expected to see Brad and Reggie roll up on the same motorcycle, only to have Reggie step off first and reveal Brad's shirt that says, if you can read this, the bitch fell off. Late.
1-800-636-8686. What is your beef? Banging telephone calls. Margo in Buffalo. Margo, hello.
Hello. Jim, my beef is for not putting the keep out sign
on the door for CJ. On Friday, you closed the show stating he'd be listening instead of participating. Have you forgotten the junk smack that moron used when he took an aim at you by getting to the front door of your home, getting past Jano to your pool, taking a dump? Please, Jim, put the...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that.
Margo.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I ran you because you're confusing CJ in San Francisco with James in Portland. You were taking a run at the wrong person. That's why I had to run you. Let's go to Deming. Ed, it's good to have you. Ed, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome. My beef is with that telephone tough guy, Cal in Vegas. Romy, I know you're a big fan of Cal, but let's be honest. We all know this guy and are sick of his act. He's a guy who talks tough all night long, yet at the end of the night, he's laying unconscious under a barroom table. And then the next day, he's still telling everybody how he won the fight. Cal, I'd rip off my own beard and make you eat it if I thought it would shut you up. But then again, I don't need any child abuse charges on my record. Out.
Oh, man. Well done. Well done. And you're right. I do like Cal in Vegas. He makes me laugh. But that's a good phone call. Rack him. We do rack phone calls during the beef segment.
Rack him!
1-800-636-8686. Not done yet. Let's go to Portland, Maine. John. Good to have you, John. What's your beef?
Jim, what's going on? My beef is with Free Sample Guy. I'm a wine sales rep, and every day, at least 10 times, I get the guy, hey, you got any free samples? Out.
I hear you. That's got to be pretty annoying. Free as me. Not me, but free as you. Free Sample Guy. You are running out of time, but we're not there yet. Why don't we try Melissa in West Virginia. Melissa, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is donating blood today, and I can't drink any caffeine. And yesterday, you were teasing me with that top button. It was almost out of that pink shirt, but not quite. That's my beef, too, is favorite TV sportscasters not undoing one or two buttons. Thank you. Have a good vacation. We'll miss you. Bye.
Melissa, thirsty much. She's like, my beef is with you teasing me because that first button was almost undone, but not quite. Unwore my favorite sportscasters, not undressing. Yo, you got a thing for me, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, Melissa. Maybe one day I will take that button down. Maybe one day, Melissa, I'll take both those buttons down. Maybe, Melissa, when I head to the lake, I'll get all silk-like and I'll take off the entire shirt. I will be in Wisconsin. And as you probably know, Melissa, if you like what you see here in Cali, when I go to Eagle River, I'm like freaking Robert De Niro there. I'm like De Niro, Pacino, Brad Pitt, all rolled into one in their prime. So you should follow me on Instagram, Melissa.
Inevitable.
You don't know what you might see. There might be some jungle porn, yo. Or maybe just me drinking a Spotted Cow. You don't know. Check it out. Find out. 1-800-636-8686. Let me get out. That's it. That's your beef segment. I've got Jake.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Busy, busy day. Coming up next hour, I've got PGA Tour golfer Keegan Bradley. I've got Dan Wojcicki, a writer for the LA Times. I've got a podcast, episode 179 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck. That's coming up later on today. And right now, as promised, we are joined by a former USC long snapper, first completely blind Division I college football player. He was a Pac-12 Special Teams Player of the Week in 2017, a semifinalist for the Jason Witten Collegiate Man of the Year Award, 2016 Uplifting Athletes Rare Disease Champion Award recipient. He is an inspirational speaker. He is the co-founder and president of Engage. And we have a lot to get caught up on. Jake Olson is my guest. Jake, it's good to have you back on. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. That was quite the intro. I appreciate that.
You got it, Jake. You earned it, my man. So you and I spoke back in 2017, right after you made history and made your college debut in USC's win over Western Michigan. So that everybody can fully appreciate what you're working on right now, Jake, can you take me back to that game? What do you remember most about it?
I remember being really hot.
Right.
First game in September, as any California or Southern California person will know, it gets real hot in August and September. And so it was super hot. And I remember Coach Helton was telling me I was probably going to get in the second quarter. And then that game was just kind of a wild game. And so it really was this roller coaster of, okay, I'm in, I'm not. And then, you know, it happened to come on off of a pick six, which was funny enough, any specialist, you know, punter, kicker, well, I guess not a punter, but kicker, holder, and long snapper, you know, we like to stay warm on the sideline. We like to get warmed up. And we like to know, hey, offense is driving. Let's get warmed up. There's probably going to be a field goal or PAT coming up. Well, that's not the case when there's a, you know, punt return or kickoff return or defensive touchdown. So literally the defensive touchdown was like, oh, man, at least this just came out of nowhere now. So it was like one of the last things I wanted to actually happen, but it was all right. It was an awesome, awesome game, and what a moment.
Jake Olson joining us. It was an amazing moment, and I think as many people know, you had been a USC fan for years and connected to the program going way back. So as a refresher, what did it mean to you to finally make your debut for the Trojans?
Well, I think that's one of the more special, I guess, pieces of it, Jim, is that, again, as a 12-year-old, I was adopted by Coach Carroll in that USC team and the USC program. And really, after that college game day piece, all the sports nation and college football nation. And so it was really special that people were able to support me then, pray for me then, you know, give out their love and support then, watch me grow up. And then here I was, you know, as an 18-year-old coming to SC, and everyone's like, oh, I remember that, you know, guy. I rooted him on. Like, I encouraged him back then. And then to see me, you know, have my career at USC and finally get that day in the Coliseum, I think it was just a pinnacle of all of our emotions of watching, again, me go blind and then overcome blindness and start living a normal life again and get back into sports. And just the culmination of all that, I think, was really special for me and for everyone in that stadium and for everyone, again, who's been following my story all along.
Jake Olson joining us. So the story was so inspiring. There was an avalanche of attention. What were the next few days and weeks like for you after that game?
Well, it was really crazy. I had to do this really crazy podcast with this guy named Jim Rumnick.
Yeah, right. Wild.
But no, it was fun. I mean, it was obviously a lot of interviews. Again, because of the stories that had come up in the past, you know, I've made friends with people in the media, so it was, you know, just kind of good talking to people again, doing interviews, and you know, obviously from a request standpoint of speaking and appearances, that obviously increased, and that's where we kind of came up with this idea of Engage as a platform where people could find a central way to, one, contact me, because I'm sure, as you know too, Jim, like when people try to contact you, it can come from left field, right field, anywhere. So it's like, how can people contact us where we know the person reaching out is, number one, legit and honest, and two, that, you know, they both for me and them can know that, you know, who they're reaching out to is legitimate and me. So that's what we kind of really want to create, and then have a central place where we, you know, manage those requests and keep those requests and can look back on those requests. And again, there really wasn't a software or platform or anything out there that allowed us to really do that. So that's where the idea of Engage kind of came about.
Jake Olson, my guest, I want to follow up on that. You are the co-founder and president of Engage. But before I follow you up on that, I want to ask you, like, you had been doing public speaking before you arrived at USC. So what were the rules for you as it related to amateurism and the ability to profit off of your story then?
Yeah, so actually, because of a USC basketball player back in the day called Lil Romeo, there was called a double life rule in the NCAA guidelines. And that basically says if you were famous for something unrelated to, obviously, you know, sports or college, your college sport of choice or any college sport, really, if you were famous before then and you could continue to profit off of, you know, that endeavor. And so for Lil Romeo, he was a rapper. So again, playing college basketball had nothing to do with his rap career. So therefore he could continue to get paid to rap and et cetera. So for me, that was public speaking. You know, I spoke about, you know, battling cancer, about playing golf, about, you know, overcoming blindness, all that kind of good stuff. And so by the time I was playing college football, I could continue to speak on those topics. Now, there was, you know, a fine line between, one, being marketed as a USC long snapper, USC college football player in general. They cannot do that. It cannot show up on a brochure. They cannot advertise that, nothing of that sort. And two, you know, I couldn't hike up my rates, right? I couldn't all of a sudden charge double or triple the price because of my newfound, you know, popularity in college football. So those were the two kind of caveats to that. But again, the double life clause did allow me to continue to speak and appear because of what I was doing beforehand.
Jake Olson joining us. It's really interesting, right? So what about your teammates at that time? What were your teammates able to do in terms of telling their stories and generating revenue off of them?
Well, that's the thing. Nothing. Because, you know, a lot of these guys didn't have the opportunity to do that before they got to college. So if you don't, you know, if you didn't have a real set standard of you going, speaking, sharing your story, receiving revenue of doing that, you know, you can't start in college because then they would just assume that, oh, the only reason you're starting is because your newfound, you know, popularity as a college football player. And so that's what really frustrated me is that, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, my teammates, man, they've come from hard backgrounds. They've lost parents. They've grown up in broken homes and come from nothing and supporting people. And, you know, there's a lot of inspiration out there. And for me, I was like, you know, it's awesome. I get to go share my story and shake hands, but these individuals should be allowed to as well. And that's where I kind of was really, you know, really look at these rules and say, you know, are they really necessary in that regard? Because there's so many stories and so many opportunities for these players to meet fans, to inspire youth, to kind of do all that I think is really being missed because of kind of these arbitrary rules.
Jake Olson joining us. We're covering a lot of ground as quickly as we can. Jake, I got to get your thoughts on this because it's been a topic for so long. As a former walk-on college athlete, what is your reaction when you hear people say that people who play sports in college already get enough compensation in the form of scholarships and an education and that should be enough? Is it?
No. So I always say this argument, two things. One, if that's the case, then you already have an imbalance in pay. If you're saying that education, room and board is already covered and that should be enough, then someone going to USC is being paid a heck of a lot more than someone who's going to some state school. You know, sometimes twice the amount in just one year, right? SC's expenses, some other colleges are very expensive. So therefore, just based on that, you already have an unbalance in compensation there. Number two, if you think that you would work, if I asked you, Jim, if I have the person who is making that argument, if I said, hey, you're 40-hour week because going, playing sports, lifting, meetings, all that good stuff is another job. It's a 40, 50-hour job on top of going to school. If I told you, hey, you can work for your job 40, 50 hours a week and all that, you don't get paid, but you get, guess what? Your kid gets to go to school for free. Would you take that? I don't think so. I don't think anyone in their right mind would say, yeah, I'm going to work a 40-hour week just so my kid can go free to school. So there's a lot of kind of putting that idea out when not considering what would you do if it was you? And when you ask that question to someone, again, who's making that argument, I think a lot of times they're going to be like, okay, well, I guess, no, I wouldn't do that.
Jake Olson joining us. All right, so what about the changes in name, image, and likeness? How much do you think that's going to impact college sports? And then how does your company play a role in all of this?
Well, I think it's going to be, you know, one of the things that has been so cool is, especially when I was at USC, and especially after, you know, people, when I would speak around the country or you know, be traveling, people come up to me, hey, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I hate USC, but I love your story. Hey, I'm a huge Ohio State fan. I hate USC, but I love your story. And it gives these personalities to follow. You know, every great sport, you know, professional sport league does a lot better when you have personalities in it that connect with the fans that go beyond just team loyalty. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in college sports when these players actually get to meet fans, share their stories, kind of make and capture those opportunities. Again, I kind of made this example. Someone may never care about women swimming in sport in college athletics, but if they know one of those women on that Cal swim team lost their mother and was raising money for helping kids who are being raised in homes without a mom, all of a sudden you might care about that individual. You might watch that Cal swim team now. And so there's like opportunities really there to capture with individuals telling their story, again, raising money through sweepstakes, which, again, kind of back to your second part of that question is what I feel like my company can do. we can help these individuals have a real platform, a structured ability to go out, raise money for charities that they want through cool sweepstakes. Again, field those requests that are honest and legitimate so no one's just taking advantage of these athletes, because trust me, this is going to be a real big market, and with every big market with a lot of money comes sharks that just want to take advantage of that. So we really want to kind of create an honest, legitimate means of people reaching out and participating and contacting these now college athletes who may not have the experience to know if someone's just using them or not. So again, for anything from sweepstakes, pop-up events, engagements, like speaking or just appearing, we can help in all of that. And so that's what I really want to do is kind of connect those dots between the fans, people who follow the school, follow the sport, and those individuals now that who are going to really create a personality for themselves through their story to reach those fans.
I like it. He's the co-founder and president of Engage, and that's where you want to go. Really quickly, Jake, before you go, I can't let you go without asking about your guide dog, Quebec. How's Quebec?
He's doing great. He's sleeping right here. He's chugging along. On June 29th, it will be our 10-year anniversary together.
For those who don't know, what's he like?
He is one of the most loyal dogs. He has huge separation anxiety. He's just a slug of love, I call him. No one he's met has not fallen in love with him, and it's quite a shame, because once you get to know him, you want to see him more than me. So it's like, could Quebec come over? Oh, yeah, Jake, you can come over too.
There you go. He's the co-founder and president of Engage, a former USC long snapper. Great, great story. Jake, great to have you back. You sound great. Appreciate the message, and thanks for coming back and doing it.
All right, thanks, Jim. Fight on.
Have a great day, Jake Olson. What a great story. All right, when we return, third hour's busy. I'll take your thoughts on that. And I've got a lot more to get to. 1-800-636-8686. In Southern California, we are now 2 days out. Smack Off 27 is Friday. Keegan Bradley and Dan Wojcicki next hour.